Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. If you have questions about long-term care, insurance, investments, or preparing for the next phase of life, contact Gar and Leanne at LenanderAdvisory.com or call them at 651-365-5000. Lenander Financial will help you plan today for a better tomorrow. And now, here are Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial.
Welcome to the Wise Money Show. It's Leanne and Garwin Lenander again with a very special guest. But before we go to the guest, Leanne, give your phone number.
651-365-5000.
Mine is 651-436-3997. We have with us again this morning Annie Brose. Annie is an estate planning attorney licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin. And she gave us some great insight last week. And so we're gonna pick her brain again. And Annie, let's kind of review just a little bit of what you covered last week, so kind of bring people up to date.
Well, last week we talked about what is an estate plan and why do we do an estate plan. And we talked about there's two components to an estate plan, providing for when you pass away, how your assets are going to be distributed, and then also planning for your incapacity while you're alive, you have your incapacity, and who could step in and make medical or financial decisions. So we talked about what is an estate plan and why we do it. And then we also talked about what the barriers are. And people are reluctant to come in to do an estate plan because they don't want to contemplate their own death, especially when there's young children involved that they wouldn't be there to raise their children. But how important it is to do it because they get to control who would take charge of their children physically or even over the financial assets that would benefit your children. So it's a way for you to control and decide, make those decisions without having somebody else make them for you.
Talk about the different documents that you do work with.
Sure. In an estate plan, you have either a will or a will and a revocable trust. The main difference between a will-based plan and a revocable trust-based plan is just the method how your assets are going to be distributed. When you have just a will, we need a companion probate proceeding in order to give legal effect to your will in order for the assets to be distributed. And then a revocable trust, what that does, that's sort of like a will and a probate wrapped together. What the main difference is when somebody does a trust, they've nominated a successor trustee. The trust document itself gives that person all the powers they need to handle your assets. With a will, we've nominated someone to handle your estate called a personal representative, same job as a trustee, but they don't have any power to act. We have to go to probate court to get them officially appointed, and then the court gives them all the powers they need to act. So that's the main difference between a will and a revocable trust-based plan.
So when you're talking about probate, it's basically mm-hmm. dealing with the courts.
It is a court proceeding, yes. Probate is there only to handle assets, though, that you own in your own name without a beneficiary designation. So think about it this way. This is an important part people, I think, don't understand, is that when somebody dies, the first thing I look to is, do they own the asset jointly with somebody? If they do, I don't look at anything else. I don't look at beneficiary designations, and I don't look at your estate plan. It does not matter. If it's a joint asset, it goes to that surviving joint tenant. The second rung is I owned it in my own name, but I had a beneficiary designation on it. I stop right there. I don't look at your will. I don't look at your estate plan. It doesn't matter. That beneficiary designation is going to control the distribution of that asset. So then the third rung is, I died, I own the asset in my own name, and I did not have a beneficiary designation. Now we say, well, who's supposed to get this? And we look to the will or estate plan. And if there isn't one there, then we look to the statutes to provide us how we're supposed to distribute these assets.
When you're talking about the statute and how that's to distribute it, that is different sometimes between states, too.
It can be, but for the most part, the intestate succession hierarchy would say it would go to spouse and then kids, grandkids. And then if there aren't any in that group, you'd go back up to parents, siblings, nieces and nephews, and then kind of keep going out. The issue is, though, that's not necessarily how you want it. I mean, most people would say yes to my spouse, to my kids. But when we have a lot of these blended families right now, it may not all just go to the spouse. Some may go to my kids from my prior marriage when I die and then also provide for my spouse. So it doesn't accurately reflect what your wishes are.
All right. Let's just talk about the differences between Minnesota and Wisconsin in doing an estate plan.
So Minnesota and Wisconsin are different in their estate planning because they're different states. Minnesota is a title-based state, so how assets are titled matters. Wisconsin is what's called a community property state. So by virtue of your marriage and you're both residents of Wisconsin, marital property law attaches and gives rights to each spouse in each other's property, regardless of how they're titled. So it makes planning a little bit different. The main difference is that in Wisconsin, we want to make sure we're outlining who owns the property and how do they own it. Do they own it jointly as marital property? Is it individual property? Wisconsin or Minnesota, we don't have to do that necessarily. Minnesota has an estate tax, a state estate tax. Wisconsin does not have any estate tax. So for the state, both states have to deal with the federal limits that we talked about last week, where it's $5,490,000 this year. But then the state of Minnesota has a $2 million threshold. So estates above that are paying estate tax. And that's a little bit in flux because it's part of a bill that's they're going to try to change it to $3 million, but it's not quite there yet. And Wisconsin doesn't have anything. It's zero. So you wouldn't pay any estate tax to the state of Wisconsin.
So it's really, really, really important to have everything laid out to tell the family, this is what we're going to do with our assets, mom and my assets. We're going to distribute them this way. So when the crisis strikes, the family knows totally what we wanted. Is that a good way to explain that?
It is. So when part of the estate planning process, especially when there's adult children, would be to include the children in the conversation. So once mom and dad are done with their estate plan, in my particular practice, what I do is I have a review sheet. This is mom and dad's estate plan. And they can give that if they want to their children. So one, they know they've done an estate plan and they have some idea of how the assets are going to be distributed. They don't necessarily know the value of the assets or what the assets are.
At this point, it's not important. Yeah.
Right. But also then they can have the conversation about tangible personal property. Like we talked about last week, that sometimes that's the most contentious issue. And so you can talk to your children about, is there something particular that you want that I wasn't aware of or that you have some strong sentimental attachment to that, again, maybe the mom or dad weren't aware of, so that you can fend off any of those kind of disputes after somebody passes away.
There's probably nothing worse, and I know Leanne has been through it and I've been through it with clients, to have the kids come unglued after the death of a parent during this time of crisis, and we find out that they're fighting terribly over something I would call stupid. It's not the money, it's the little, maybe it's a snowmobile or it's something that dad promised to me and you took it, and ma, I'm really upset about it, and now the family is split. And Leanne and I could go through several situations like this each. We've seen it. It happens, unfortunately, because the parents didn't pre-plan their distribution of assets.
So when you're planning for tangible personal property, one nice thing that estate planning allows you to do is you can do a list of items that you want to distribute to anybody. Okay, you can't give cash and you can't forgive debt on that list, but you would write the item down and who it's to be distributed to, and you sign and date it. There's no requirement of witnesses. There's no requirement of notary. So you do it at your leisure whenever you get around to doing it, and you leave it with your estate planning documents. So it's very simple to do. So if you have that conversation with your children about what are some of the items you want, instead of just putting a piece of tape on the bottom of it saying it goes to Susie.
Which is what most people do,
yep,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Write it on that list, okay? And the statutes gives that list in both Minnesota and Wisconsin legal effect, meaning it's enforceable. You know, it's important also that you date that list, because
I think that's the big thing.
Yeah,
right,
I've had circumstances where I have two lists, they're not dated. I don't know if somebody fell into favor with mom or fell out of favor of mom, because in one they're getting the china, but in the other one they're not. And so the last list will control. So we want to make sure when you sign it and you also date it, and preferably rip up the old one. But if you don't, make sure that you've dated it.
So if I date the tape, that's not going to hold any sway at the court.
No.
No.
Okay.
Well, I think we've talked a lot about a will now, but I want you to expand a little bit again with the health care directive and the durable power of attorney.
Before you do that, Annie, give your phone number again.
715-246-2211.
And you can always get it from the Lenanders, or you can call the station and they will get it for you. Go ahead, Leanne.
Well, just expand a little bit about those, because we've covered the wills a lot.
Sure. So for a health care power of attorney, that's what it's called in Wisconsin. In Minnesota, we call it a health care directive. Essentially the same document. It's where you set out your wishes for your care in the event that you have a persistent vegetative state, terminal illness. And so that's where you list whether you want to be an organ donor or not. It should also be on your driver's license. It'll list whether you, for instance, if there's no meaningful chance of a conscious recovery, do you want just palliative care, or do you want heroic measures like prolong my life? I have had a few circumstances where an individual will say, keep me alive for 1 year, and then you can pull the plug, just in case. And so we list that in there. The one main difference between Minnesota and Wisconsin in that is that in Wisconsin, I can only name one person at a time. Minnesota, I could name all the kids collectively if we wanted to. But in Wisconsin, it's just one individual at a time. What I typically do is add a paragraph that say, while I've named one individual, collectively, I'd like the family to be part of the conversation, knowing that just the one individual is going to be making the final call, just to kind of mitigate that a little bit.
And when you're dealing with somebody who is dealing with Alzheimer's or something like that, I think it's extremely important to have you working with the family.
Absolutely, yes. You know, and another important thing that I think people don't think about is the HIPAA authorization.
I think you better expand on that one, too.
Yep. So the HIPAA authorization is giving someone, even when you have capacity, so when I have capacity, I'm going to give them access to my medical records for billing or treatment purposes. They're not going to be make medical decisions for me, because I'm still competent. I can do that. But when people are much older and their kids are starting to help them with their care, this gives them free access to talk to the doctors, to gather up their medical records for them, and it makes it a lot easier for them to assist you.
It's very, very important that you pre-plan these things. There's no way to explain it, how important it is that people don't do it. They must do it. They have to do it, because it's going to make the final day is so much better for the family. And that's the ones you're trying to take care of, is the family. Make sure they don't fight. Make sure that your desires are carried out, and the distribution of your assets totally. Annie, give your phone number one more time, please.
Sure. 715-246-2211.
And we'd like to thank Ann Brose for being with us this morning on the Wise Money Show. Join us again next week. We'll have another interesting topic to talk about.
Experience counts, now more than ever. When it's time to trust your finances to someone else, experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 651-436-3997. That's 651-436-3997. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KOVB. If you have questions, comments, or concerns about topics discussed today, or would like to submit questions to be discussed in the show, please contact Wise Money at LenanderAdvisory.com. These shows are also available on podcast at klbbradio.com. Join us again next week at 11:45 a.m. for another edition of Wise Money with Gar and Leanne Lenander on Club 1220 KLBB.